Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1 through 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1 through 5 of Psalter 278.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, and there of Mark 10, the verses 13 through 16. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 10, beginning with verse 13 to 16. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. Thus far Scripture reading. Let us now together read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that He doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for His children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that He doth wash us in His blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that He will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism has come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Nordegraff? Father and Mother Venny. Dear parents, we read that Jacob said to his son Joseph, concerning Joseph's two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, they are mine. Thus he said, the issue which thou wilt beget after them, they are thine. But he said, these are mine. And then Ephraim and Manasseh were numbered among the sons of Jacob. So it is also with circumcision, when the Lord has said unto his people, his own covenant people, concerning their children, he said, these are mine. Therefore, they also had to be circumcised. So it is also with baptism, that the Lord, when he will have his triune name to be placed upon the foreheads of our children, they say unto us, these are mine. That is actually so with every child that is born in this world, because every person in this world is created by the Lord. And in that sense, they are also the Lord's. And yet, in a very special way, the Lord is including our children in the midst of his own church under his own covenant. And thus, in a special way, they become his. And then his own elect among them, they are actually in a very special way his children. In this sacrament, the Lord does not only say of your children, they are mine, but he also shows how that they may become his. He shows what they are in their misery, in their deep fall, what they need, and he shows what is the promise concerning his own, and that is that washing and that cleansing with that blood of his own dear son. What does that now mean for our children? That does not mean that our child is converted by baptism. It does not mean that our child is by baptism declared to be one of the elect. But it means that the Lord, He is separating by baptism our children from the children that are in this world and giving to them a very, very special privilege. That is, that they are brought under a promise that the Lord, He is going to work in and amongst that people, in and amongst those children. And thus it is with such a promise that we as parents may bend our knees with a hope, with a good hope, that the Lord may sanctify and bless the means that we are using for the sake of our children. And what does that mean for us? That means that we are but stewards. Because if those children, the Lord says of them, they are mine, that means that they are not ours. That the Lord gives them to us, that we may be as a steward, as a man who is caring for the household of another. And that he cares for that household for the sake of his master. And when then that master will give unto into his hands all the goods that he has in this world, then that is a great responsibility. But when he will give unto them a person, a body and a soul, and say unto that steward, care now for this body, and care now for this soul, and occupy until I come. Then he will require of us what we have done with this child. Whether we have seen this child and brought up this child as our own, or that we have seen this child as lent to us from the Lord for a little time. It is for a little time. Can be for a very little time. A very, very little time. We have all seen it. And thus, the Lord is going to also ask us when we are finished and when He is removing us from our responsibility of this stewardship, what we have done with this time. The owner, His commands for us as stewards, they are in His word. Seek there the guidance, how you may bring up your children, how you may view your children. And then we read in the Word of God, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Or is that people not happy of whom the Lord says, they are mine? May you experience that both yourselves and with your dear children. While the children are brought in, we ask you to sing from Psalter 48, the eighth stanza, the Lord's unfailing righteousness. All generations shall confess. From age to age shall men be taught what wondrous works the Lord has wrought. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5, thus 48, stanza 8. Thank you. Peter Marinus, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Curtis Hank, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing on this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen also Thy church in that most holy faith, that they also may receive thereby in their own hearts that truth concerning the forgiveness of all their sins, For we cannot live and we cannot die in the way that we have been born in thy church, that can receive no other comfort than that thou wouldst take away all their guilt. Lord, they cannot do it from their own sight. They have transgressed and are a transgressor. They cannot but be lost and be condemned, except that thou wouldst forgive. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one of us. Remember in a special way the children and the youth of our congregation. For the calling has come in a special way unto them in the weeks that are now gone by. And they also do have a baptized forehead. But thou hast made a difference where there is no difference. For thou hast called a little boy out of this life. And thou hast left all the rest of them. Thou hast spared them and thou hast not taken them along, O Lord. That thou may give in their young lives a saving impression of their own iniquity, that we deserve to die, and that we have to die because of our own sin. Oh, that thou may give that in the days of their youth, they may learn to smite upon their little breast and to say in truth, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that thou may give amongst our youth a seriousness about our life, and that the calling may not go by them, and that it may not go unheeded, because it is a serious calling for which they themselves also, they will be brought to account. When the Lord, he has come with his chastising hand so close unto them as children and as young people, and when he has declared that truth of his holy word, that it is not only the old that must die, but also the young that can die. Oh, that they may see a preciousness, O Lord, in this afternoon hour, in that baptized forehead that thou hast given unto them. Oh, that they may be given to fold their little hands and to bend their young knees before thee. The God of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they may be given to beseech thee, that thou may give them also the meaning of it. That they may not be excluded, that they may see the great privilege of their baptism, but that they may also see that it is insufficient, and that it will increase their guilt on that great and notable day. O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou give us all together tender hearts, a hearts that may weep because of our sin. Oh, that we may look inward, each and every one of us, and that thou may grant us true conversion. Draw us, Lord, then we will run after thee. Remember all those that mourn. Remember also the parents, but also the grandparents and great-grandparents. For thou knowest each one and where that they are. Lord, grant a humble heart, when we may see our seed, the generations to come, that they are also brought in that outward church, to be made a member thereof, that it may be giving hope in the hearts of thy children, that they may beseech thee for the coming of thy kingdom, that thou mayest enlarge it also in the midst of us as a congregation, and thou dost give increase in the midst of us. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may give it also in our hearts in truth, that there may be those who are truly born again in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation amongst whom we dwell, in a time wherein Satan is loosed more and more, and the time does declare itself to be so short. O Lord, grant us thy grace. Do forgive and take away our many sins. And wilt thou look upon us in this hour, when we hope to bring a little portion of thy holy word of truth. O be thou in the midst of us, says he that serveth. Give us to know that it is thy word, that it is not the word of a man, that it may be for the conviction of sin, that it may be for the comfort of the needy and all those that mourn. Wilt thou remember us to gather and give thy presence to be felt in the midst of us in this hour in a believing way? We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is amiss, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 213, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My people, give ear, attend to my word. In parables new, deep truths shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 213, and the last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in that portion that was read to you from Mark 10, and thereof the 15th verse. Mark 10, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. So far, the words of our text. Receiving the kingdom of God as a little child, first naturally, second spiritually. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Who speaks? It is the Lord Jesus. We read, he is much displeased with what? With what he sees and what he hears. With whom? With his own children. With his own disciples. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Thus it is the desire of these parents to bring their children unto the Lord Jesus. Why? We read to touch them. Matthew, he writes to pray for them. Were they sick? That is possible, but we do not read anywhere here or in the other epistles that they were sick. Thus, these parents, they are anxious for the welfare of their children. You know what that is also, do you not, parents? That you are anxious for the welfare of your children. What kind of anxiety is that? And for what are you anxious about your children? It was not a strange thing for the Jewish parents, Jewish persons, to bring the little children to a venerable person that they may put their hands upon them. So we read that Joseph brings his sons unto Jacob, his father. And Jacob, he touches them. He lays his hands upon them. Thus it was a signification of a blessing that was conferred unto them. We read that the Lord Jesus, he often did this also when he healed in the midst of the people. And now these parents, they are looking for blessings. They are looking for what kind of blessings. They are desirous of spiritual blessings for their children. Are we also? Happy are those children who are blessed by him. And thus happy are those children who have parents who are looking for those spiritual blessings from him. These children, they could not bring themselves to the Lord Jesus because they were too young. They didn't have any knowledge. They didn't have any strength. You'd say that was now the duty and that was the task of these parents. They are looking after them. They are caring for them. And so that is also in baptism. Not that the Lord Jesus was here baptizing, because baptism that was not yet established as that institution and settled yet as the institution whereby that men were brought into that visible church. But it is very evident here that the Lord Jesus points out that little children, they are received by him, and that they are included in that visible church, and that they are included also in his invisible church, as is conveyed by infant baptism. Thus the duty of parents, and not only in baptism, but also in many other ways, that we have read in our form concerning the instruction of our children, that is, in things doctrinal, that is, in things practical, and in bringing our children under the means of grace, under the preaching, under the reading, under the catechetical instruction. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. These were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were called by him. For what purpose? That they may make him known. That they may direct all nations of the world unto him. But they do not give easy access unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Was that now out of evil intentions? Oh, we cannot believe that. They have a sincere regard for their master. They highly honor him. They feel that for him to have to deal with a little child, well, that is too low for him. That he must spend his time giving instruction to those who have come to their years, to those who are adults. Thus, they feel that it is too troublesome for their master. He is that great prophet who was expected by the Jewish people. But they are mistaken. That is now a great danger. It is a great danger, especially for office bearers, that an office bearer, that the church itself may be mistaken. And the Lord Jesus, we read here, he was much displeased with his disciples. Thus it causes him much grief. It causes him indignation in his heart. Why? Because they misrepresent him. They would say that he is someone that he is not. And then that picture that they give to him unto the multitude, that is not a true picture. But it is also because they wrong these parents, because they wrong these children. And it is because they also were so slow to receive instruction, because it was only a little bit before this that we can read that the Lord Jesus, he has taken up a child in his arms. And then he has said that anyone that will receive me as he receives this little child, then he receives my Father, which hath sent me. But the disciples, they did not understand. And so the Lord Jesus, he says to them in by way of rebuke, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. What an unfathomable humility, that he was not above looking at the very least, looking at the very smallest in this world. We read that, children, in the Bible, that the Lord, he is dwelling on high, and he humbleth himself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And then you may think, children, that you are too small. You may think that you are too young, but that is not true. No, we read it in the Bible that the Lord, he says, suffer them. The Lord, he would have those children to be brought unto him. What do we read? And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He took them up in his arms. Oh, he has come. He has come to set up. He has come to establish his kingdom in this world. And when he takes those little children in his arms, and then he is also admitting those children into his church. Then he gives also those little children a title to the privileges of that church. He is owning them. And we read he blessed them. That is in a twofold sense. Because Matthew says that he prayed for them. And thus, as man, as the Son of Man, but also as God himself, the intercessor for his own people. And then as a man, he is praying, but as God, then he is answering also that same prayer. And that cannot go unanswered because of his own work. What did Isaac say concerning the blessing of Jacob? When Esau, he says, "Hast thou not but one blessing for me, my father?" Or he says, "I have blessed him, I have blessed thy brother, and he shall be blessed." That blessing that the Lord he is giving unto his people, even unto those children, that is a blessing that cannot be taken away. And thus, we have that proof that this is not just a superstitious thing that these parents are here doing. That they are bringing these children unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they are asking the Lord Jesus if he will touch them, if he will pray for them. No, the Lord Jesus, he concurs with this. And he specifically rebukes his own disciples. And when they say that this should not be done, but at the same time, then the Lord Jesus is giving instruction unto his church, and that is a spiritual instruction. Verily I say unto you. Thus he draws attention to his words, as words that are worthy of notice. Verily I say. He will say, children, as your teacher or as your father and mother will sometimes say, now stop a moment and listen to me. Because what I am going to say to you now, that is very, very important. I want you to hear it and I want you never to forget it. And the Lord Jesus, he now says, verily, I say unto you, as it were, truly, and it is doubled, verily I say it. It is a matter of importance. It is a matter that is recorded by the three evangelists. They were rebuked. They have not forgotten this rebuke. It was their own shame. And they were incorrect. And they were corrected. And now they will record that in that Holy Bible, that it may go to all the generations unto the end of the world, that they may say unto the end of the world, this is now the mistake that we made. And this is now the correction that we have received. Thus they will say, make not that mistake yourself. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Thus, he speaks about how a man must come in unto that kingdom of God. Do you desire to come into the kingdom of God? That is in the first place, because if we have no desire, young people, to come into the kingdom of God, then we will have no desire to know how that a person may come into the kingdom of God. Oh, do you have a desire to come into that kingdom? Do you say in the bottom of your heart, even if you do not say it with your mouth, do you say, oh, if I only also could be brought into that kingdom of God? And then do you ask, how is that now that a person is brought into that kingdom of God? That is now what the Lord Jesus is saying. And he says that he is coming into that kingdom as a little child. Thus children They are in many ways emblems, pictures of those who do enter into that kingdom of God. How? There are people that say, because they are so innocent. What do you think, young people? What do you think? When they will say, because a child, he is so innocent. That is now how that they enter into the kingdom of God. I hope you have learned something from catechism and from your mother and from your father and your teachers. We'll say, no, no, no. Child is not innocent, is he? Say, such an innocent little child. Oh, that child also has guilt. From the moment of his conception, then he has not in that moment his own, but he receives guilt that is imputed to him, is it not? From his covenant head, Adam? And is there any person that has ever entered into the kingdom of God as an innocent person? It is just the opposite. We read in the Bible that they will enter into the kingdom of God as publicans and as sinners. Is that not a wonder? Is that now not what opens the kingdom of God for us? Because who of us can put his hand in his bosom and take it out clean and say, I am innocent, and therefore I can enter into the kingdom of God? Can you do that, young people? I cannot do that. No one can do that. That is now the great comfort, that is now the great wonder of that Holy Scriptures. Oh, how is it then that a man, he is entering into the kingdom of God as a little child? Well, the Lord Jesus, when he did set that child before the people, then he declared, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, he shall be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Thus, a little child, when that child is just an infant, then there is something that he doesn't have. He does not have yet that ability for self-conceit. He does not yet have that ability to lift up himself above others in this world. Thus, humility, that is the chief end of that work of the Spirit of the Lord, in order that a man may come to enter into that kingdom of God. Why? Because you cannot enter in your pride. Pride is what has destroyed mankind in paradise. Could Naaman be cured? As long as he remained in his pride, the Lord brought him down. And then that leprosy, that was all gone. David could not continue either. He could not be forgiven as long as he remained in his pride. But when that pride was brought low, then the Lord said that he had put away his sin. Oh, humility, that is now one of the first graces that is showing itself, a bright evidence of that true church of God, that they are becoming as a little child. You know, the child of a prince, he will play with the child of a pauper. Why? So he doesn't know any different. Doesn't matter to him. what the status is of a man in this world. And all that status that a man has in this world, grace, that brings it all down. Manasseh, oh, he humbled himself, we read, before the Lord his God. Saul, that proud Pharisee, saying, declaring to the entire world, to the end of the world, that I am the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, grace that humbles a man. I am not worthy to come, that thou shouldest come under my roof. Truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, they come behind in the crowd, desiring to stoop just to touch the bottom, the very bottom, the hem of his garment. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. A little child, he is dependent, he is weak, he is helpless. He cannot help himself. Right, children? Little baby at home? Do you have a little baby at home? Can that baby do anything? Can't do anything, you say. No. Mother has to do it all. Father, maybe you help too, because you are getting older. But that little baby, he cannot do anything. They're so helpless, and they depend on you and on your father and mother, that they will help them when they need help. Nobody likes to be weak. Nobody likes to be helpless. No, we like to help ourselves. The older that our children become, the more they say, Mother, Father, I can do it. For the most part, then, as parents, we say, that is good. But the Lord does not say that is good. Why not? Because the Lord, he desires to do it for his people. Because it is the Savior that desires the glory and the honor, that he may do it for them. And thus the work of that Spirit of the Lord, that is to rob that people of their strength, that is to make them so dependent. The little child is hungry, can only cry. Then mother, father, they have to feed him. And so that church of God, or when they are hungry, ask them. Say, just read the word of God. They can read it from the beginning to the end. And yet they cannot give themselves one crumb to eat. No, they can only cry. And when the Lord is coming, and the Lord is blessing that word, just one word out of that holy writ, oh, then they may eat and then they may drink. The people are afraid. When a child is in danger, he can only cry. And father and mother, they must come to his defense. Is that not what Joshua did? That whole multitude, all about him. And he was so afraid. He says, we do not have any might against this great company that cometh against us. He could only cry. Oh, so dependent is there a people that can only cry. When there is so much that is coming against you, so many inside speakers, and when the devil himself comes against you with all his accusations, when you have nothing more to say to him, and when you have to say that it is true, that it is from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, that there is no soundness in me. Oh, that you have to say that it is true, and that you deserve to be cut off, and that you are expecting to be cut off. Or are there only those that can only cry to God that he may defend them from all those company of enemies that are coming against them? Dependence. Or even as a little child, but let us sing. 188, 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 188. I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What did Abraham do when the Lord spoke to him and said to him, get thee from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will tell thee of? What did Abraham do? We read he obeyed, not knowing whither he went. As a little child. That is what you do, boys and girls, also. When your mother says, come, we go, take my hand. You say, where are we going? She says, you follow me. As a little child, what did Abraham do when the Lord said to him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of? What did he do? We read he rose up early in the morning and he went as a little child. What did Abraham answer when Isaac said to him, my father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. True saving faith that is childlike, that is obeying and it is acting because it believes that God will do what he has promised to do. And that is what the true church of God may experience in the revelations of his only begotten Son. As a gift, obedience. Childlike obedience as a gift. Not that they must do, but what the Lord gives them to do. So that when the Lord is coming, that the Lord, he is also bringing that people in by that true saving faith. That is like that man with that withered hand. You and I may say to him, stretch forth thine hand. He cannot do it. It is impossible. But when he is commanded by Christ, then it is in the same moment that the Spirit of the Lord is giving to that man faith. In that same moment, that he is attempting to do what is impossible for him. That he does it by faith. And at that same moment, the Lord, he gives him that faith to do it. So that his hand in that stretching out that is made whole just as the other. That is now what that impotent church is experiencing in true saving faith. That childlike obedience, that childlike trust in all their impossibility. That is the way that that blessing that is being received. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. That word of God that is true. God's people, they learn to receive that word just as a little child. Why? Because the Bible that says He reveals it unto the babes, that they may enter into that kingdom of God. Thus, do you know something of this entrance into that kingdom of God? Do you know how that you have come to enter into that kingdom of God? If you do, then you also know something of what it means to be made as a little child. Then you know something what it means to be brought in your helplessness, in your ignorance, in your weakness, without wisdom, without power, that you cannot help yourself. It is the Spirit of the Lord that then has brought you low. It is the Spirit of the Lord that has humbled you step by step until you have felt your wretchedness, your misery, your corruption, your pollution, your guilt. He has made you to feel your unworthiness so that you have abhorred yourself, we read in the Word of God, in dust and in ashes before the Lord, like a worm of the earth. Oh, do we know what it is to be humbled under the hand of the Lord? And as such, then you are given to recognize yourself in the Word of God. Because when the Lord brings us like that worm, and He makes us to feel what that worm is, and then He says to us, as He said to Jacob, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, thou worm Jacob." Then a man recognizes himself in that Word of God. Then it is faith. Then it is faith that recognizes itself in that Word of God. And then it is faith that cannot but receive that blessing of the Word of God in the revelations of His only begotten Son. Why? Because he has found himself in it. And it is in such a way that a man, he is entering into that kingdom of God. It is in such a way that he is receiving the smiles, the smile of the Lord, that he has given a pull through that wicked gate. No, then they do not have to do it by themselves, because then the Lord is giving them to do it. Everything that is coming from the side of the Lord. Oh, do we know something of what it is to be made a little child? Do we know something of what it is to enter into that kingdom of God? Oh, children, young people, there are so many of you. You are not too young to die. You've seen that. Jason was only 3 years old. You are not too young to die. The Lord, He has not taken you, but the Lord has taken him. And if you are not too young to die, boys and girls, young people, then we are also not too young to be converted. Do you believe that? It is not just for your parents and for your grandparents. No, it needs to be for each and every one, because we do not know what one day is going to bring forth in our life. The Bible that says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." It is, humanly speaking, so much easier when you are young. Why? Because when you have grown old, then we must become as a little child again. And that is now the most difficult part. Remember then thy Creator. The Lord, He is a rewarder, young people, of those that diligently seek Him. And He makes that promise that those that seek Me early, they shall find Me. You won't die as another child, you know. You will not die as another child in this world does die. Why not? Because you have a baptized forehead. And when we will come before the Lord, then the Lord, He is going to look on your forehead to see if there is a sign there. And He will say, "Oh, you child, you young man, I see my name there." That means you were instructed about Me. That means that My law that was placed before you in the days of your youth, you did not want to listen. You did not want to go My way. You wanted to go your own way. Do you see those other children there? My name is not on their forehead. And I will sign them a place. But your place will be deeper. Because that name is there. What a responsibility. On the other side, are there some of you that are afraid to sin? Are there some of you, children, young people? Are there some of you that mourn because of your sin? You may also go on your knees by your bed at night, and you may point to that forehead. You may show it to the Lord. You may say, "Oh Lord, I cannot die as I have been born. I am only a child. But dost thou not say that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared?" Oh, then you may ask the Lord. Then you may say, "I am only a child, O Lord. But could I have then a little place, just a little place in thy kingdom as a little child?" Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us all together, make us as a child, that we may receive that kingdom, because we are altogether too high, altogether too proud. All we need to be brought low. Instruct us in thy truth. Bring us in the place that we cannot and we will not bring ourselves. Draw us, O Lord. We will run after thee. You look upon us the rest of this day and week. Watch over each one for good. Remember those who hope to be united in the bond of holy matrimony. Gather with us in thy house of prayer. And be amongst us as one that serveth. Keep from all danger from all accident in this day and week to come, and keep from all sin and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 275 stanzas 3 and 4. This all ages shall record for the glory of the Lord. Thou dost hear the humble prayer for the helpless. Thou dost care. 3 and 4 of Psalter 275. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.